her life story in itself was very interesting in the sense that she left Ireland in 1935. She came back to Ireland in 2010. She had spent 75 years in Japan. When she left in 1935, it was on the understanding she would never come back home again. She was the last Irish missionary nun in Japan, returned to Ireland at 98 years of age. That in itself, I felt, deserved for her story to be recorded. But her personality as well, when on the few occasions I met her, I live in Paris, but when I was travelling back to Cork, where she was in a convent, a kind of a retirement community, I saw her on a couple of occasions and I was just really struck by her strength of character, her personality, her joy, her good humour, her lucidity at almost 100 years of age. And she was just a shining light, you know, a really bright personality and good fun. And I really didn't feel the 70 year age gap, and I didn't feel the any sort of generational barrier. She just seemed so contemporary and modern, despite the fact that she was 100 by the time I started recording her memories.
One thing that comes across an awful lot in the film is how much she lives in the moment. You keep asking her questions and she starts spotting things like birds and magpies and trees. She very much lives in the moment.
I think so. I think even though she was very much of the Catholic tradition, without even knowing it, she had mastered something of Zen, sort of being in the moment, noticing the moment, being in the present. And I think it might certainly explain why she was so joyful and contented and healthy and well in her mind and in her body at 100. And I think it was part of what intrigued me about her, in terms of wanting to spend so much time with her and record her memories over that whole year, to get to the core of who she was and what was it that made her so vital.
Yeah. I mean, because not many people live to be 100 and be as lucid as she was and have as much joy and humour. It's interesting the point you say about adopting Zen. I mean, she went out as a missionary, so she went out to tell people about the good news, about God, about Christ. But as you say, she did seem to adopt a lot of a Zen Buddhist philosophy. I mean, at the end she says, "I am one with everything," and she was very appreciative of nature. So how much was that conversion, if you like? Was it a give and take experience?
I don't think she really was that exposed to Buddhist or Zen ideas, because she was living in a convent and she was really living in that enclosed space, and her contact with her students was through English classes and through private English lessons. And I really don't think she was studying Zen or Buddhist kind of principles massively, but she was living in that environment for 75 years. And if a lot of her students weren't Catholic and a lot of her close friends weren't Catholic. So I think, without even knowing what was going on, there was a kind of a cross-pollination and a sort of an exchange of ideas and a revealing of common ideas. And I think it made me think a lot too about being myself not a practicing Catholic but brought up Catholic, about what elements of Catholic tradition might have nourished her in that way. And I think her life of inner spirituality and prayer nourished her and gave her great strength and balance and happiness and well-being. And it made me think about the commonalities between, say, Zen tradition and maybe mystical Christianity, or just universal spiritual truths. And I think because she was a missionary, and I think this is the case with many of them, they weren't existing in the bubble of their own culture or spiritual tradition, which can sometimes be almost stifling, if that's the right word. Or she had to go towards another culture and present herself and make herself understood to another tradition. And I think in that interaction between two traditions, in the middle, that meeting point in the middle actually reveals a lot of truth. And the image of shadow, the film is called Thanks to Your Noble Shadow. I think for me, that image speaks to that idea that the shadow you cast on others and the shadow they cast on you, that play of mirrors between two people who are looking at each other, trying to understand each other, in that space in the middle, that kind of grey zone of Shadowland, there's a lot of truth there.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that we live in a post Catholic era, post-religious era, but that if we can look back, we can see that there are elements that are positive. There are things that are there, that maybe it isn't the case that we throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you like.
That's really an expression that I've thought of a lot in relation to this film over the last while. It wasn't the reason I told the story. I told the story because she was fascinating and I thought that her story deserved to be told. But it's true that in the broader context of the Ireland that we live in, of the Ireland that she grew up in, of the Ireland that she passed away in, and all of the changes that it has seen, and all of the change, in particular in the last 10 or 15 years, the kind of collapse, I think it's a fair word to use, of the Catholic Church's influence in Irish society, and all of the revelation of scandals, etc. I think there has been a huge focus on that, to the point where perhaps we've forgotten some of the other aspects, and the fact that the Catholic Church was a vehicle for some, indeed a lot of good. I believe in personal freedom, and I believe in taking from whatever offering there is what has meaning for oneself, and I don't believe in imposing that on anyone. And I suppose sometimes in religion there is a degree of imposition. There was a degree in the past, certainly in the missionary movement pre-Vatican II, there was a sense of we are coming with the truth and we're going to, you know, enlighten you pagans, etc. The tone of that changed a lot after Vatican II. But in any case, I do think she represents very much the bright side of what the church was about and what the contribution of the church was. It's a very positive reflection of the contribution of missionaries in particular, and how they were respected and well received. And it's part of the broader story. You know, and I'm not claiming to try to balance the books or anything like that. But if it does end up providing another perspective on a broader picture, then great. You know.
It's such a story of self-sacrifice. You talk about how when she leaves Ireland, she's gone. She's leaving. She doesn't think that she's ever coming back. And even later you talk about how when she does come back, or somebody in the film mentions how when she does come back, she almost feels like she's cheating. She's cheating on her promise that she made to devote her entire life to her work, to the missions.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't the same even potential for that kind of personal sacrifice anymore, because you can travel to the other side of the world, and no matter how bad your conditions are, there's always a way back. There's always going to be some way back. Even if you travel to the moon now or Mars down the line, you'll probably be able to have a Skype conversation with your family. And that sense of separation is very difficult for anyone nowadays to imagine, because all there was then was letters, and it would take how many weeks for the letter to arrive. You felt utterly cut off. And Japan as well was a very enclosed, cut off society. In the early 20th century, it had gone through centuries of being totally shut off to the outside world in a bid to protect itself, in fact, from the colonial movements and things like that. In the 1870s, there was the Meiji Restoration, which was Japan's kind of opening up to the outside world. But the Japan she arrived in 1935 was a very insular society, and she didn't speak any Japanese, and it was really a very, very, very different place to the country she grew up in. I can't even imagine how alienating it must have felt for a 23-year-old young woman who was very attached to her family, to her country.
And yet there was no doubt. There was really no doubt in her mind. She does tell one story about being on a boat and hearing Auld Lang Syne and thinking, what am I doing? Maybe I should go back. But apart from that, there was really no doubt. She wanted to go sooner, nearly. You know, she had to be held back, even going as late, you know, going as young as she did. She would have gone sooner if she had a chance.
I think she really, there was a call to adventure in this woman. You know, there's a book that I really love, in fact, called The Hero's Journey, or The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. And it talks about a sort of hero's journey across different mythologies, that there is this common imprint of a hero's journey that speaks to all human beings, that in many ways we're all the heroes in our own life journeys. And I think it's a beautiful way of viewing life, in fact, as a journey, and as our being the hero in our own journey, if you like. And I think certainly for her, when she felt a passion to do something or a call to adventure, she followed it, and she followed her heart, and she was true to herself. And those decisions that she made mightn't be the same decisions that somebody in the 21st century would make, for example, to join a convent and to become a missionary and have no income, etc., and to travel to the other side of the world. But that, in the Ireland of her time, represented an adventure, a challenge, and something that was outward-looking, modern, all of those exciting things. And I think actually, if I had been born in 1912, as she was, I would quite possibly have been a missionary and have gone off to China or Asia or whatever, as a lot of her contemporaries were doing at that time. And people are blown away by it. You know, when you talk to them, you see it in the film as well. They, when they reflect on what that was and what it involved, you can only be impressed by it, because you're giving everything of your, you know, personal life up for the greater good, quote unquote. And that for me is extraordinary. And I'm not talking about it in a religious sense. I'm talking about it in a personal human sense. It's really worthy of respect and being honored, you know, and they deserve our honor and our respect, I think.